Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Cannabis Marketing Podcast. I'm Rob Howard, founder of Daily Story. Today, we're going to talk about banking in the cannabis industry. I'm joined by Mel Barnes. Mel is the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Oklahoma State Bank. Mel has over 25 years in the banking industry, primarily in payments and operations. Her experience includes management, training, business development, treasury management, marketing, deposit operations, customer support, and of course, cannabis banking. And cannabis banking is exactly why we're here today. Mel, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So Mel, let's just kind of jump right into it. How did you, I mean, this is just such a fascinating topic for me because, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of business owners in the cannabis industry. And one of the things that always seems to come up is the challenges around banking. How did you get into cannabis banking?
Well, okay, that's a very good question. In 2018, cannabis was legalized for medical use in Oklahoma. And suddenly, Oklahoma had this great influx of businesses and people moving to the state. And it was a really, really fast and furious kind of transition. And so you're driving down the street and you look around and we've got a dispensary on every corner. The real estate market is flooded with cannabis owners and operators looking for a place to conduct their business. And it became very clear to us that there was a great need to serve this industry. And the big challenge with that was, okay, how can we do it? And how can we stay compliant and do it and be able to help our communities? Because cannabis has touched every single community in Oklahoma. And so we wanted to try to meet that need. And we knew it was going to be a challenge, but we could not ignore the huge need that we saw on every corner in the state of Oklahoma.
Right. And to be clear, you currently, so with Oklahoma State Bank, you're only banking with cannabis customers in the Oklahoma state itself, correct?
That is correct. We are only in the Oklahoma market. And as you know, there are different laws in every state that in every state that have legalized this. And so the trick is it's very important that a bank who wants to go into this industry really understands the laws of their state. Because if your cannabis operations are not compliant with the state, then that bank cannot be compliant in banking those clients.
And what are some of the, can walk me through, what are some of the kind of compliance and regulatory things that as a bank you have to kind of work through with these cannabis customers?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Well, what are some of the, like, the regulations and the issues? I know there's a regulatory board in Oklahoma. I think it's OMMA.
That's correct.
Like, how does that all factor into the compliance issues that you have to work through with these customers?
Well, the real important thing that really governs this whole topic from a banking perspective is the Bank Secrecy Act, or BSA. And every banker knows what that is. And the BSA is a federal regulation that is written for the purpose of anti-money laundering. So in comes the cannabis industry, and because it is not federally legal, payments becomes a huge problem right up front. So we have this issue of cash. Card payments are not accepted by Visa and MasterCard. There are some workarounds that you'll see out there in the market to take a debit card, maybe, as opposed to a credit card. And that is a big struggle within the industry. So with all of this cash, our federal regulators are concerned about money laundering. So that is a very, very, very big concern to us. Not only is it important that we get this cash into the banking system so that the business owners are able to use a bank account and pay their taxes and pay their utilities and pay their employees and get the cash out of the system, because that also creates a huge risk, a safety risk, both to the business owner, who somewhere has to have a big safe and they're stuffing it full of money, and it's also dangerous for our communities. So getting back to what we have to do to stay compliant with OMMA, we're really looking at the requirements of the OMMA, which is the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority. And so we're looking to make sure that everybody's licenses are issued in the correct entity names. And we have to make sure that the municipality in which they operate, they all have different rules for what types of permits and licenses that they have. And so we spend a lot of time trying to stay up on the state questions and the state regulations that are put out by the OMMA so that we make sure our customers are following that agency's regulations.
Yeah, and that's kind of a good lead in to, you know, a discussion around when you, if a dispensary or someone in the cannabis market wants to bank with you all, what are the types of things that they need to have in place to make sure that they can establish a banking relationship?
That's a great question. So we do have a list of guidelines and required documents and required licenses. And some of those are, I mean, some of them would surprise you what is needed. For example, if an Oklahoma dispensary sells plants, or if they sell clones, then they have to have a nursery license in the state of Oklahoma. And there are 10,000 licenses issued, cannabis licenses issued in the state of Oklahoma. And the different verticals, of course, have different licensing requirements. So the best thing that I can say to a business owner who is trying to open a bank account is make sure that you have all of your ducks in a row. Make sure you have all of your documentation. Make sure that you have readily available your articles of incorporation and beneficial ownership of those different entities. I enjoy working with these business owners who have come to us through referrals from CPAs or attorneys, for example, because those guys know and they advise the business owners what they're going to need. And so we're going to need everything that you would need to open any type of a commercial checking account, which, you know, documents that identify the corporation, who the players are in that corporation, who has what authority within that corporation, and get a banking resolution like that. But it's not just their entity docs. It's making sure that all their licensing is in place to operate in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me when I speak with businesses in this industry, the amount of paperwork involved in staying in business. I mean, there's you know, tracing and tracking of the clones. There's all the different the laws and the taxes, and just the overhead of running a business it's incredible, and it varies state to state. And you know, we've worked with some customers that are in multiple states, and it's just astounding to me the level of complexity that they have to operate within. And as a business owner myself, I mean, I don't operate with nearly the same level of complexity in my business. It's so much easier, and it always impresses me for these dispensaries and these cannabis business owners, just what they have to do. So I can imagine a lot of them come to you pretty well organized because they already have all these other laws and regulations they have to follow. Mm-hmm. When you do speak with these businesses, I'm sure you occasionally see some that are just missing some things. And
right.
So you, You, it sounds like you have some guidance that you provide them. Is that on your website, or how would they go about finding that?
Well, the whole system starts on our website. And if you go to osb.bank, osb.bank, and you go to the cannabis page on our website, there is a place where we can collect your contact information. If you submit that to us, we will have a salesperson reach out to you and help you get started through the process. And these people are trained to understand what these documents are and what is needed, and be able to really hold the client's hand through the onboarding process so that they can submit the application. The key to all of this, and something that I think we should probably touch on, is the compliance. So we have joined two heavily regulated industries here. Banking certainly is very heavily regulated, not only by the federal government, but also our state governments, and the same thing with cannabis. And so these cannabis business owners understand that compliance is complex, and that compliance is expensive. And so then you go to the bank and you say, okay, I'm ready to start this account. Oh, this is not a free checking account. Well, unfortunately it isn't, because that word compliance translates to dollars, translates to manpower. You know, we've got all these reporting requirements and monitoring requirements of these accounts, because what in effect has happened is the federal regulators have kind of made us the boots on the ground to monitor these transactions, monitor the activity, to look at their sales reports, look at their seed to sale reports, and go through those transactions and scratch our head and say, is there anything funny going on here? And so just the sheer amount of manpower it takes to get your hands on all of these touch points, that is very expensive.
Yeah, I can imagine it is. I mean, I think the one thing also that, you know, we haven't really mentioned here, and I think I neglected this when we just kind of started the discussion, is really the level of thought leadership that it took to take the step forward for a bank to get into this space. I mean, I was recently at a conference, in a cannabis conference in Oklahoma, and I remember driving up from Dallas, which is where I live, and the number of dispensaries that I passed was just amazing. And how, just walk me through, how did you get the board to get their heads around getting Oklahoma State Bank to participate in this market?
Well, strangely enough, one of our board members, one of our directors at the bank, is a retired physician, and he has been watching this market very closely and studying the benefits of medical marijuana on patients. And he's always been very supportive of us and very passionate about the benefits of cannabis over opioids, for example. And so having someone on our team that really was following the industry from a medical point of view was great for us, being able to show our board that we believe in this and that we believe that there is a huge market out there and that we would like to serve it. So he was very instrumental in that.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me, just because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Oklahoma State Bank was the first bank in Oklahoma that started working with cannabis businesses. Is that correct?
Actually, I do not believe that we were the first. We were one of the first. And there are a handful of banks in Oklahoma who will bank this industry. So that means there's a handful of bankers who have wrapped their head around the regulations and really taken a look at the opportunity, not only the deposit opportunities. You know, everybody is in this to make money, of course, but just the opportunity to be able to serve our communities that so badly need financial services right now. You know, it is a very small group of bankers who have taken a look at this and taken a deep dive and say, okay, we can do this. This is how we have to stay compliant. And this is what we're able to do to serve this community.
Right. And then, so as we start moving forward and as you've served the Oklahoma community, you know, there's been recent action, let's call it, in the U.S. House with some legislation that was passed and now handed off to the Senate around federal legalization. How do you kind of start thinking through what that means to your business and how you, you know, and it, right now you're focused really on the Oklahoma market, but, you know, what happens with federal legalization if that gets passed?
Well, that several things will happen. That will open the door for many more banks eventually to serve this market. One thing that I think it's important that we remember is when something is passed, when this legislation is passed at this level, it could be months, it could be a year and a half until the guidance is handed down from FinCEN, which is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. And they kind of govern this Bank Secrecy Act we're talking about in the anti-money laundering. So I do foresee that there will be different types of reporting that perhaps they have us do. Hopefully there will be less reporting. Hopefully by federally regulating this, or legalizing it rather, we can all get on an even ball field when we start our compliance programs for different types of high-risk businesses. But as I said, it will be a long time coming. So we all look forward to that day because we think it's going to make it much easier for the businesses and for the banks. But I just cannot see it happening before about 18 months should this bill go ahead and pass.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I'm a little bit more pessimistic than you. I think it's still 3 to 5 years. I mean, that's kind of my bet that I'm making right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're working with a lot of different businesses, and I think it's just that the federal legalization obviously is very important and urgent for a lot of them. But it's also just imperative for these businesses to have to follow all the different compliance and regulation in the different states. And I imagine they are just so looking forward to the day when there's one set of compliance laws, one set of, you know, guidance, one set of rules and regulations that they can begin to follow for their business. Cause I'll be honest. I can't imagine just the difficulty in running a multi-state business in this market right now.
Right. Because of all of the different rules in the different states. And, you know, we do have some customers who have dispensaries in multiple states across the U.S. And it's very obvious when we visit with them and when we talk to them about our requirements and the requirements of the OMA, you can tell that is very difficult for these people because they've been operating in California or they've been operating in Colorado or Illinois, wherever it may be. Then they come into Oklahoma. Well, we also have to have this piece. So they scratch their heads. You're right. It's just very difficult. The compliance in cannabis combined with the compliance in banking really creates a documentation nightmare.
Well, yeah. And my business is on the marketing side of the house, and equally there is compliance that these businesses have to follow that's unique to them around how they do all of their communications. I just keep going to the fact that, or back to the fact rather, that these business owners just require a level of diligence and organization around all the compliance they have to follow because there's so much of it in right. Every little nook and cranny that they want to operate their business in.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, so what the banks are starting to see is technology popping up that we didn't have 5 years ago. And that's compliance technology, so that we can, from a cloud-based system, access anywhere we might be and monitor these transactions and onboard these customers in a reasonable amount of time and communicate with these customers and send them reminders that, okay, now your license expires in 60 days. We're going to need an updated license. I mean, it is an ongoing process of compliance. And with the software that I'm talking about, we're able to set ticklers and set checkpoints and reminders so that these customers get an email that comes into their email box that says, okay, now I need your next license renewal or whatever the case may be. So we're really starting to see a lot of software come up out there that allows us to better manage this. But there are some things that you really just have to have a human being touch in order to properly manage the compliance.
Yeah. Okay, I have to ask. I mean, I have this vision in my head of what it's like to be a banker in this space, and I know how much kind of cash moves through the system. I just have these pictures in my head of these dispensary owners coming in with bags of cash to deposit once they have a bank account. Is that something you've seen happen actually, or is it all just done electronically at that point?
Oh no! See, you have touched on one of the biggest expenses, and that is the cash. So cash handling is very expensive. That takes manpower, that takes equipment to verify currency and that kind of stuff. And then once we get all this cash into the bank, it has to go somewhere, right? So cash creates the biggest challenge other than just compliance in general, because it is hard to deal with, it's expensive to deal with, it is cumbersome to deal with, and it is not safe for the depositor to bring in a backpack full of money. So when we get cash into the banking system, then these folks have access to electronic payments, just like you would have in any other industry. And so we try to figure out ways to electronically provide services for payments and the movement of money from one vendor to the next without it all being in cash. But because this is illegal still at the federal level, Visa and MasterCard don't have the capacity to monitor that. And so they say no. And just think about you as a consumer. Everywhere you go every day and pull your debit card out of your wallet, you're going to go buy breakfast, you're going to go buy coffee, you're going to go to Target and all these little things, you're going to go to Lowe's. Well, guess what? If you're a cannabis owner and you do not have a bank account, you're going to take $15,000 to Lowe's to make a big purchase. And that is just a very risky way to do business.
Oh, it's terrifying. Like I can't imagine, I can't imagine carrying that much cash around and even trying to make a payment with it. And then as the business owner or the business receiving that cash, I mean, that's gotta be equally frustrating to have to deal with it. I mean, they're just not prepared or set to handle it, which kind of talks to why banking is just such a fundamental part of running a business. And I imagine, Mel, that in addition to banking services, I bet you can help a lot of these cannabis businesses with referrals for CPAs that you've worked with and other kind of business services that they would need to. Is that typically something you find yourself doing?
Yes, that is what we are really doing. Right now, the network is very, very strong. We get really good referrals from our CPAs and our attorneys and other cannabis business owners. And so a lot of that is referral, word of mouth, and that kind of thing. But, you know, there's plenty of business to go around for these banks, but many, many banks do not have the appetite for the compliance nightmares that it creates. And so, you know, you do have to have a strong plan. You have to have all of your, and I'm talking to other banks right now, you have got to be able to have a very strong compliance program, because the examiners are going to want to look at your policies and procedures and look at, they're trying to create best practices because nobody's ever done this before. This is a brand new territory.
It's a very common theme around compliance that I think we've talked, we probably said that word a dozen times already in this call, which right. is, you know, just how important kind of the compliance aspect is of all of this.
Right. Right. And so if, quite frankly, if we get a customer come to us who is new in the industry and hasn't tried to open a banking account yet, they're a little offended sometimes. It's like, really, you want this, and this? And, you know, would you ask that from your oil and gas producers? Well, no, we wouldn't, but that's not federally illegal. So, you know, it's always a surprise to these folks that have not gone down the banking path yet. It's always a surprise just how very much information that we need from them.
Yeah. I mean, well, hey, Mel, last question for you. So what's been your biggest surprise or aha moment since you've been in this cannabis banking space now?
Well, believe it or not, what I would say was our biggest aha moment was, it centered around, guess what, compliance, because these business owners don't have access to the banking system, and so they have run their business out of their consumer or personal accounts. And so when banks have very sophisticated technology that looks at transactions and looks for patterns and that kind of thing, but when a bank starts seeing a lot of cannabis business going through a personal account, paying vendors and paying employees and, you know, even utilities, rent, stuff like that, that bank says, oh, you're operating a cannabis business out of your personal checking account, and we are not cannabis friendly, and you have to close your personal checking account. So there,
oh gosh.
Oh yeah. So there are
terrible.
I know many, many business owners who have had relationships with a bank for 30 years and more that suddenly that bank doesn't want their business anymore. And to really put it in perspective, the reason that bank just cannot bank them is because they are not geared up for the compliance that is required. And so it has created also an interesting little consumer market, because these people are being kicked out of their banks.
Yeah, and I've heard stories of that myself, and that's a shame. And I think it speaks to really the need for these businesses to develop relationships with banks and to find bankers such as yourself that they can work with. And with that said, if I'm in Oklahoma and I'm in this market, how do I get a hold of Oklahoma State Bank? How do I kind of start that discussion with you all?
Well, again, you can go to our website, and we do have a page, a cannabis banking page, and there is limited information there. But the best way to start the process is to input your contact information, send us that submission, and we will reach out and start talking to you about the benefits of being able to have a bank account, pay your vendors and your employees electronically, have a debit card in your hand that you can use at Lowe's, and all of these things that you would expect in any other industry. Talk to us about how we can get that started for you in the cannabis industry.
Well, thanks, Mel. I think that's probably a good place to stop. Really appreciate your insights today. I think this has been a great and valuable information for all of our listeners. And for more information about Mel, about Oklahoma State Bank, you can see our show notes or visit dailystory.com and go to the Cannabis Marketing Podcast on our website, where we've included other links and other materials related to this show. So thank you, Mel. And with that, we'll conclude the podcast and see you all at the next episode.